philosophies in my experience and my experiment.
So I am just sitting in the car at the front of the kids' school, waiting for pickup, and this is really the only opportunity I am going to have to record an episode that is due to go out within kind of 24 hours. And I don't actually have much to say, I don't think. The reason that it's going to be the last opportunity is I've just had like a pretty busier week than normal. Just lots of sessions and running about, and I don't usually do either of that. And plus I've got a lot of little projects that have come in, so that, you know, has been a little bit distracting, like a little write this over here and like, you know, write copy for an ad over here and produce this ad and stuff. So it's like stuff that I don't usually do, like just little bits and pieces coming in. And so so I've just been really busier than normal. And tonight, I'm picking up the kid now, and then I've got to rush home, get changed, and I've got to head back to our local pub upstairs. There's a really lovely function room, and I'm speaking tonight for the first time in, well, over 2 years. The last speaking gig I had in person was She Podcasts in Atlanta. And so I haven't really done, I mean, I've done a couple of online things, but I haven't done anything in person since then. In fact, the weekend that we all locked down, I was supposed to be speaking at We Are Podcast in Brisbane. And then they cancelled the conference. And I think then they moved it online a little bit later, and I spoke at that, but it's different. It being in a room with people is very different to presenting online, because, you know, there's just a different energy to it. I can feel the people in the room, where I can still feel people, like I can still feel their energy online, but it's just it's different. It feels different to me. The interaction is different. Like I can't see all, like even with Zoom, you know, I'm not looking at an audience. I'm not able to look into everyone's eyes. And see them reacting. It's kind of a very different experience online. So I'm not particularly nervous, but I have prepared more than I normally would. So for a normal, when I was like at the height of like doing a lot of public speaking, it was really, I would sometimes, if it was required, if slides were required, I would just do like, you know, 5 slides with like key points I want to hit, and that's it. And if there's no slides required, it's just a notepad with, you know, the same 5 or 6 dot points that I want to hit. And then I just really free flow, because if I don't, so this is really interesting, right? Like when I worked in radio, you might already know this, but when I worked in radio, I'm just having a mental blank. Oh yeah. I used to write down every single word I would say. The station handle, all the bits of the back announcing, that was, you know, like, I didn't say that was, because we don't do that kind of stuff in radio. It's all just like, take out all of the superlative fillers and whatever. Superlative? I don't even know if that's the right word, but all the fillers that we use, just get rid of it and just get to the crux of it. So to be succinct, I would write every word out and I would read it. I think that's why I'm a good voiceover artist, because I read everything that I would say on air. And then that shifted when I started running on the beach videoing myself back in 2009. That's when things shifted. I wanted to see if I could trust that I could hit record and whatever had to come out would come out. And it did. Like it was never perfect, but sometimes it was pretty profound. Like I would listen back and I would watch it and I'd be like impressed sometimes with like, yeah, how the wisdom that I that came to me. And actually, I just had kind of had a similar experience this morning. So in preparation for this talk tonight, I went back and I listened to part of the first session of Show Up, Speak Up. So Show Up, Speak Up was a program that I got funded to create during the first lockdown. I think it was the first lockdown, or anyway, it might have been, the kids might have gone back to school. It was in July. Yeah, the kids might have been back at school. All of the workshops were supposed to happen in person and they couldn't, so we moved it online. And that meant that like anyone who wanted to come could come, which was so cool, and it was such a great experience. And I was listening to the first call of it and I was like, wow, you seem really calm and, you know, and like, you know what you're saying and confident. And then I remembered that's actually how I felt during those sessions. I felt just really at ease. And it was the same thing. I'd sat down, mapped out a few hit points that I wanted to hit, some questions that I wanted to ask. And then I just kind of jam. And that's how I like to do things. You know, this podcast, I don't do that. I don't do any note taking. Sometimes I might do some mental note taking. Like if I'm feeling like, yeah, this is what I want to talk about today, I might have a think about, you know, what I want to say. But mostly it's just hit record and then just start talking and see what comes out. And today obviously is very much that, because I started talking about how busy I am and now I'm talking about, you know, my process for getting ready to speak. But yeah, that whole, and this is interesting, right? Because like the talk that I'm doing, it's about finding your voice. And I was trying to break it down into like, what are the things that I've done to find my own voice? And, you know, one of the key things I'm sure I've spoken about before is like, you never lose your voice unless you physically lose your voice. And then that's like, you know, that requires medical attention. But we all have our voice. It's here, right? It just requires exercising sometimes. The throat's a series of muscles, and the more you exercise the muscles, the stronger that they get and the stronger your voice comes. It's why we do scales in singing, to build our range and to expand ourselves. And I remember it was earlier this year when I was doing the full voice five element framework training. And I was talking a lot about like where you take your voice, you follow, you know, so if you can stretch yourself and expand your voice and your range, then you expand yourself and your range, not just vocally, but spiritually, you know, all the ways you expand. And yeah, I was outlining like, what are the kind of key things? And one is obviously, I've just covered it. You use your voice, right? You use your voice, the muscles get stronger, you get more confident in your voice. Then the other thing that I've found really powerful is actually listening to my own voice. And this is really interesting because most people that I've met, who are women particularly, hate the sound of their own voice. They hate listening to themselves back because they've got this really super strong inner critic that's just picking apart everything they've said, the way they look, you know, just like being horrible to themselves. And that's not the way I listen back. And I think this is something that I learned in radio, was because we used to have to, oh my God, take a tape of me, part of my show in, and have it critiqued by someone who was like, you know, you think you've got an asshole on your shoulder pulling apart everything you say. Well, this guy who was the boss of my work, the general manager, he was that person. Like, he was super critical, but with no, and I think a lot of people's inner critics are a bit like this, really hypercritical, but not really offering any suggestions for improvement, you know, just looking for the faults. And I remember I would say to him, you know, okay, so, you know, here's my tape. We'd sit down and listen to it and he'd go, that's, yeah, it's shit. And I'd be like, okay, well, what's shit about it? And he was like, I don't know, it's just shit. You're shit. I mean, fucking hell. That is just, when I think about that workplace, I just think, I mean, the guy was sued multiple times and it wasn't, you know. Anyway, and I was out of there in a couple of years. It was like a very short apprenticeship. But, yeah, most people's critic is that. It's that voice that's like, you're shit, but it doesn't actually listen for where you could improve or lovingly suggest some ideas for expanding, right? Like, it's just like, you're shit. Which is just fucking bullshit, really. Like, that critic needs to fuck off. And you need to get more of a loving bird on your shoulder who's like, that was a really great effort. Here's how we could improve next time. You know, so developing from that inner critic to a more loving, compassionate voice. When you're listening to yourself, like, have a listen and listen to areas for improvement without being an asshole to yourself. So we use our voice, we listen to our voice, and then there was another one which is just escaping me right now. Yeah, it's gone. Oh, that's it? Yeah. Okay, so the third one is, like, we observe ourselves in our voice. How does it feel when we're using it? How does it feel? Because this is the thing, right? Like, finding your voice, what does that actually mean? Well, I think it means different things to different people. I think for some people it means finding your values and purpose and, like, you know, finding a voice for your brand, you know, has like a business twist or something. And then for other people it's about boundaries and speaking up. And then for other people it's about visibility, being seen, being comfortable being seen. Like, it means a lot of different, for some people it's about self-expression and creativity. That it, like, finding a voice means different things to different people, right? So first of all, knowing what finding your voice means matters, because how can you find something that you don't know what exactly it is that you're looking for? But we always have our voice. It's always here. It's just often under-exercised. And so that third one is really about observing yourself in your voice around those areas, right? So particularly if it's around boundaries and speaking up, or it's about visibility, how do you feel when you're using your voice? How do you feel when you're setting boundaries? Like, observing your behavior, observing what happens to your voice in those situations. And then just practicing that, showing up consistently to practice and practice and practice using your voice. It's like a daily practice. This is a thing, right? I mean, I've worked in radio. I've been a voiceover artist for fucking 20 years. I've podcasted for the last 6 years, and yet I still have this practice of showing up every week to speak, even if I think I've got nothing to say. I'm exercising using my voice. I'm strengthening my voice. I'm strengthening my message. I'm figuring out who I am through having it reflected back to me through my voice. And there's a human design twist to this too. I have a defined voice, and it's very much connected to my spleen. So it's about speaking in the moment. It's about speaking from intuition. And then it's connected also my throat to my G center. And the G center is all about identity and direction, right? I speak from my experience. I speak from what's happening to me in the moment. And yeah, and so, like, it could be a different experience for people who have an undefined throat. I know that I don't have that experience personally, but I know people who have undefined throats can really feel this pressure to speak. You know, this pressure to fill the gaps, fill the space. That's another area where I've been really, and this is about observing ourselves too, right? Like, when do we feel this need to validate someone? When do we feel this need to make a situation comfortable by filling the silence? When do we feel pressure to use our voice? When do we feel pressured to input? Do we need to? You know, as a projector, I'm here to be invited. And when I'm invited, my voice just holds so much more power, rather than just like shooting it off all the time, inputting my input without invitation. it's kind of like just a wasted energy of the voice. So like as we become, as we've, I think it's important to exercise it regularly if you're not in the practice of it. But if you are one of those people who's constantly filling space with just meaningless jargon, you know, or like verbal diarrhea because it's uncomfortable, then having awareness of that and choosing to, you know, that's some really great feedback for yourself, right? Because you're like, rather than like beating yourself up for having verbal diarrhea, really thinking about, okay, so how do I want to use my voice? What do I want my relationship to be with my voice? How could I practice not just running off the mouth? How could I practice more refinement? That isn't about judging yourself harshly and being a bitch to yourself. It's about seeing, you know, yeah, okay, yeah, I feel really uncomfortable now and I can recognize that I'm just starting to fill this space with sound. Do I need to fill that space, or could I be in the rest of my body and be kind of uncomfortable with there being no sound? How would that feel? You know, so it really is just building up this relationship of trust with this organ that is our voice that, as I said, strengthens, but I think it also strengthens in how we use it and how we don't use it equally, right? So yeah, that's just some random thoughts while I'm sitting waiting for the kid to pick the kid up from school and pondering and just kind of working through what I'm going to be talking about tonight. And most of that is mapped out, but it's, you know, like this free-flowing expression that I do through practicing, you know, in this format of like hitting record and just seeing what comes out, it does build trust. Because I know that when the voice is required, it's going to be there. You know, I can really trust my voice. And I'm always learning something new. What comes out, I'm like, wow. You know, sometimes I'm like, wow, that was really stupid. And sometimes I'm like, wow, that was really profound. Like, where did that come from? And it came from me somewhere, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what's beyond this. So, yeah, that's it from me today. I hope you enjoyed that, and see you next week. Peace out. Carlos and Fees. I'm Carly Nimmo. Da 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 da.